Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we read a part of the story of the prophet Elijah. Elijah is weary and afraid. He has run from the court of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel because they are killing the priests and prophets of God. There is drought in the land, and Elijah has been living at an arroyo where God sent him, drinking the last bit of water as it trickles down. Every day, ravens come to feed him. He is utterly dependent on God. And then the arroyo dries up. Elijah is near despair, but God has a new plan. God tells him to go to Zarephath, a journey of 50 or 60 miles, and to find a certain widow that God has chosen to care for him. Now, one might assume that if God has found someone to provide for Elijah, that person would be living a secure, perhaps even affluent life. But when Elijah finds the widow, it turns out that God has not prepared her for Elijah's arrival at all. She and her household are near starvation. "I have just this little bit of grain left," she says. "I'm preparing to use the last of my oil to make a cake. My son and I will eat the cake, and then we will die." At this point, I wonder what Elijah is thinking. If it were me, I would be thinking something like, "This is where you send me, God? I thought you were going to prepare the way for me, but I have to do it all myself." But Elijah doesn't miss a beat. He sees that as much as he is in need, the widow and her household are in equal need. He sees that he can be of service to the widow, and so he offers himself what he can do by the power of God to care for the widow and allow her to care for him in return. Because of Elijah's presence and the widow's willingness to share what she has, God keeps the jar of grain and the jar of oil filled for as long as they are needed. Elijah is weary. The widow is weary. But together in God's grace, they go forward. They survive the drought together until the time when Elijah is called back to the court of King Ahab to challenge the priests of Baal and end the drought. This is the day of the church year when we celebrate All Saints. It is a day that we remember the ones that we have lost and the witness they have offered us. It is also a day to remember who we are as the saints of God. We are all made saints, not by what we do as good Christian people, but by what God has done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And saints of God, on this day, we are weary. We are weary with all that we have lost in this year. We are weary with the anxiety of an uncertain future. Weary with the deep loneliness and sense of disconnection that physical distancing protocols have brought into our lives. We're weary with missing celebrations and time with family and milestones that cannot be celebrated in the way they should, and grandkids that are growing up too far away. Saints of God, we miss our church. We miss being together, not just the worship and the singing and the sharing the peace, actually shaking hands, but we miss that simple connection of saying, "Hello, how are you?" to our beloved siblings in Christ. This week we had conferences for my son's school, and I was talking with a middle school teacher about the difficulty of doing this school over Zoom. He reflected how hard it is to stay connected and really have a sense of how his students are doing when he doesn't have just those moments between classes, when he can say, "How are you?" and he can see the body language and the facial expression and all those things that tell you whether someone is okay. And that's just the same for us. We miss just those greetings in the hallway, the coffee in the fellowship hall, those things that make this community a home away from home for so many of us. Saints of God, we are weary, and the end to this is not in sight. Medical experts are telling us this will go on well into 2021. So how do we keep going on? As Elijah and the widow did, we keep going by trusting God's promises. We practice gratitude for what we do have, and we look for the ways that God is present in our lives. We practice looking for God sightings. That's the lovely theme of the Faith at Home boxes that Martha prepared this month. And I love that idea of how we can pay attention to all the ways that God is showing up in our lives, even in hard times, in those acts of love and kindness, in the grace and mercy that we see around us that reveal the presence of God to us. And we keep on going by doing what we can for the people around us. By using Zoom, if we are able to do worship and study and social events with church members, and also families and friends and other people we know. We care for one another, reaching out to one another with phone calls and cards, sharing words of comfort and care. We care for our neighbors in need, for those for whom COVID-19 has been a financial devastation as well. Saints of God, we keep on going because we can trust in God's care. We can trust in the promise of Christ who came to walk with us through the wilderness places and shine light into our darkness. In her October Bible study videos for the women of the ELCA, Pastor Megan Johnston Iloboni told a story about a time that she was speaking with a rabbi in Jerusalem where she lives. He said to her, "Do you know what I just don't understand about the Christian faith?" She said she started thinking right away, "Oh, I'm sure it has to do with Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, the virgin birth, or that Jesus rose from the dead. Those are the things that are, you know, hard to accept." But the rabbi went on and said to her, "What I don't understand is how you can look at this world and say it is redeemed." That's a hard one. That's a hard one these days. Look at this world and say, this is the redeemed, beloved, blessed world of God. Pastor Megan goes on, "I think this is a time it is difficult to look out at the world and have the audacity to say the world has been redeemed. But the gospel says that the redemption is now, that it is today. It is not fully here, but it breaks into the present moment, not only through our word and sacrament, through our worship, but through every moment where the signs of the time bring hope that there is life beyond this struggle. There is promise and freedom and liberation beyond this struggle. And so we keep getting up, we don't give up, or like my family, we take turns giving up, so that we can also carry each other. We can carry one another's burdens, be strengthened by one another's strength, and particularly when we are strong, carry those who are more vulnerable, because one day we will be the ones who need more support." My friends, this is what it means to be the saints of God, moving forward together even in our weariness, clinging in these days to our trust and hope in God, not because of what we see around us, but knowing that God is with us even in these most difficult times. And then opening our eyes to see the moments of love and grace, the beautiful snowfall, the acts of kindness, the mercy that gives us hope. My dear saints of God, I see you. I see your weariness. I see your loneliness. I see your doubt and your struggle. We look at the world around us and we wonder how it can possibly be redeemed. But I also see your strength, your faithfulness. I see the witness that you offer to me and to one another every day with the strength of your faith and goodness and care for one another and for the world around us. God is with us in our weariness and our courage, in our faith and our doubt, in our anxiety and in our trust. I'm going to close with a prayer that Pastor Ailabuni offered in her Bible study. Let us pray. God of every breath we take, you are with us every moment. Your presence fills our present. Help us to recognize your care and your call in this time and place, that our daily lives might reflect your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.